Last week, Cosmo was at the Garston Hop Farm in northern Southland. Not far from there, some more farm diversification's been happening. Rather than hops, though, it's more like off-the-beaten-track adventure. Welcome Rock Trails is based at Blackmore Station. And to find out more, Cosmo's with Tom O'Brien.
Oh, there are some noisy animals down there.
Yep, that's right. Yep, some Angus cattle.
Are they your neighbours?
No, they're... Those cows are Morris's, the lessees. So we're at a spot called the Dog Graveyard, 10 minutes above the farm homesteads. This is where I bury the farm dogs that die. We just bury them up on this little high point here as a sign of respect. So, yeah, it's a great view from here, good vantage point.
Mm. What's happening down in those big paddocks on the flat?
So the guys are harvesting oats flat out at the moment. So, yeah, there's barley, oats and wheat. So they're pretty much taking advantage of the drier conditions that we've got here at the moment. So, they'll go flat out and keep going until they're finished. So they'll probably go into the night.
It looks like they've got a good crop there.
They have, yeah. No, the crops yield very, very well up here. We've got silt, clay, loamy type soils. They're quite heavy soils, and doesn't matter what's been grown on there, whether it's grass or oats or sort of just down the road our neighbours growing hops, so we're very, very lucky to have the soils we've got.
And you were brought up on this farm, weren't you?
So we started farming here in 1911, so my great grandparents and then my grandparents and then my parents and then us. And, yeah, it's home for me, and I'm biased, but, yeah, no, it's a pretty beautiful spot, really.
Do you still farm this land?
So, no, I actually ended up stopping farming in the traditional sense in around 2010, and so I sold all my Angus cattle and my Perendales, and I ended up going into sort of the more agri-tourism side of things.
Do you take people on tours? What sort of agri-tourism are you talking about?
So I had a chance meeting with someone in Kingston, just sort of 15 kilometres up the road there. He was a cartographer, a mapping specialist, and he'd been mapping whale feeding grounds down in the southern sub-Antarctics. So I questioned him a bit more, and he said, oh, when he's not doing that, he maps mountain bike trails all around the world. And so I thought that was pretty interesting as well. So we just started yarning about stuff, and then he said, oh, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm farming just down the road, and it's a hill country place. And he said, oh, could I come down and have a look? And I said, oh, for sure. So Gary came down and he had a look, and we went up to the tops and over the back, and he saw the water race, the gold mining water race that the gold miners had built 130 years ago, and he saw the restored mud brick Chinese gold miner's hut that we restored. And
here on the farm?
Yep. And he said to me, oh, this is a pretty special place. And he said, would you ever consider maybe building a trail, a mountain bike trail up here? And I said, oh, I don't know, I haven't really thought about it. So that seed was sown, and he gave me a couple of textbooks, and I bought a clinometer to measure gradient, and he was kind of my anchor man for the project, and I went out and started building. Yeah.
You started building a mountain bike trail by hand?
By hand, yep. No machinery, no. So I went to E. Hayes and Sons in Invercargill, and I got myself some 5-pound picks. They needed to be 5 pounds. They needed to have a bit of weight in them, because what the soil that I was digging into, well, it was predominantly made up of snow tussock, large tussocks, acephalia, Spaniard grass, rock. So, yeah, I bought some wheelbarrows and rakes and picks, and on the 8th of June 2012, I started digging on the southern boundary. And I think I was digging for about 2 hours, and I remember looking out and going, oh, hell, I've only done about, 20 metres, And so I sort of sat down and I put my head in my hands and kind of went, what the hell am I doing? Exactly. But I looked out at the view and I thought about those gold miners, and I thought about they had to hand dig the water race.
Yeah.
And it took them 3 years to do it. It was 47K long. And I thought, it's a pretty special place, and if I could get other people to maybe come on board and help me, which I did. I got some woofers to come out and help every now and then. And so from then on in, for the next 2.5 years, just carried on digging. So right through winter, right through summer, we didn't stop. So there'd be times where We'd have to sometimes take 30 or 40 centimetres of snow off before we hit terra firma, before we hit the ground, and then we'd start digging. So we'd have that, and then conversely, in the middle of summer, we'd have 30 plus degrees with no shelter.
So how many kilometres of tracks have you got to you now?
So the Welcome Rock Roaring Lion Trail, it's a 27 kilometre loop, and 22 kilometres of it is all hand built. Yeah.
Have you got accommodation on the station as well?
Yeah, well, funnily enough, right at the start and the finish of the loop is the Southland Ski Club hut. Okay, so that was built in 1936. It was a 1917 Dennis steam truck took the materials up to where the ski hut is now. The steam truck broke down, ran out of steam, broke down, so they built the ski hut there. And at that stage, you were getting these hardy souls who would come up. They would make skis out of beech wood. They'd take a bag of porridge and a bag of coal. They'd trudge their way up, and four of them would stay in this hut. And then they would pop across onto the eastern side of the range, which was where all of the snow settled, and ski for the day. So that's sort of slowly but surely being restored. That's the start finish. But then we built a hut called the Slate Hut after the Slate Range, which is only a couple of hundred metres south of Welcome Rock, which is the highest point.
Is that the rock we can see right at the top there?
Yeah, the biggest cluster of rocks on the top there. So, yeah, and Welcome Rock, its namesake comes from, in 1886, a guy called Clement Davis recounted what he saw when he got up to the rock, and I've actually inscribed into the rock describing what he saw, and he said, oh, it was a hard journey, but my exertions were well rewarded, for when I got to the rock, even though there was a nasty vapour in the valley below, after a time it cleared, I could see the golden grains in the valley below, and I could see my old friends, the Takatimo Mountains in the distance, I could see the Eyre Mountains, I could see Mount Jane, Eyre Peak, I could see Mid Dome, East Dome, West Dome. So he was describing six distinct ranges that he could see. So, yeah, it's an incredible view from up there. But also another reason why it's welcoming is because when the early pioneers settled there, they would meet each other at this point. Those in the know, they could find a bottle of whiskey that was cached in the rock. So if you could find it, you were welcome to take it out, have a little dram, celebrate friendship, celebrate meeting together, water your horses at a spring at the back of it, and then carry on your way. So we've carried that tradition on. There's a bottle of whiskey actually hidden in the rock. So people who bike the trail or walk the trail or stay at the huts, they can actually search for it.
Now down in the valley, we can see a market garden.
Yep.
That's been established in a paddock just behind your house.
Yeah, that's correct. It's interesting, you know, when you're standing up here and you talk about scale, this place is 2,500 hectares, and then when you look down at Brendan's garden, you know, that's 1,200 square metres. And every time I come up here or I go to the top of the farm and I look back down and I see this 1,200 square metre little patch of dirt, you know, when you compare that, I think to myself how incredible it is that area of land can feed hundreds of people. It never ceases to amaze me.
My name's Brendan Lopez, originally from the States. I've been in New Zealand now for just about 4 years. Been on the farm here in Garston for three of them. And I run a market garden on this massive station, providing mainly for restaurants and retail in the Queenstown area, a bit in Southland, and doing one market in Queenstown on Saturdays.
So you started this from scratch?
Yep, it had all just stock rotation through it, so it was already really, really great fertile soil. After initial soil tests, I was amazed at the organic matter and nutrition already in the soil. And yeah, thankfully, with being up here on the terrace with glacial drift, all of the rock had drifted down towards town and towards the road. So breaking of this ground, I pulled up maybe two or three rocks total.
That's all.
And this is an organic market garden?
Non-certified organic. We use all organic practices, organic fertilizers, organic compost tea, organic fish fertilizers, organic seaweed. I don't do any spraying of any organic sprays either. And when it comes to pests. My main management program is to keep things like the brassicas covered. So the main focus is prevention rather than intervention. And if it comes down to it, then I will intervene. Actually, just this afternoon, I released some dusky lacewings, which are a predatory insect, which will take care of, hopefully, the aphid issues I have at the moment.
What do you grow here?
Mainly doing a lot of salad mixes. Just a mesclun mix is the most popular. Do a lot of baby carrots for the restaurants as well. And this time of year, we've got a few different types of courgettes going, just kind of your classic yellow and green, and then a bit more specialty, the scallopini style, and also the kamokamo, the Maori squash. Do fennel, radishes, beans, just coming on to the point when our winter brassicas will go in, things that'll be cold hardy and keep going through the winter. Try to go year round, which is usually pretty good, usually just towards the end of the winter, kind of get a bit thin on things, but the weather is here is pretty forgiving in the winter. So yeah, if you grow the right crops, they'll do just fine.
And I guess you must spend heaps of time weeding.
Less and less every year, because I also use a no-till practice. I tilled the first year to form the beds and haven't tilled since. By not doing that, I'm not inverting the soil and bringing up weed seeds every year. So it's just, yeah, constantly staying on top of it, and then using a few other techniques. Like, I've got some beds covered with tarp and weed mat, so before some beds are going to be planted, I will prep the bed and then cover it with that weed mat and, you know, make sure it's nice and wet before it's covered, and that will force any weed seed to germinate. And then a week later, I can take the cover off and just give it a quick cultivation and plant straight into that, and that should take care of that run of weeds.
You've got broccoli plants under a cover in front of us. What are you protecting them against?
The white butterfly. Yep. Any brassica, they really go after. Broccoli, kale, cabbages, they just, this time of year, it gets so bad. And yeah, as I was saying earlier, aphids attack the brassicas as well, but a few other things. And yeah, we've been releasing predatory insects to hopefully take care of those. Ladybirds, lacewings, and predatory wasp called aphidius.
How satisfying, working with these insects.
Exactly, yeah. We're just working with nature to benefit us and the soil as well by, you know, not spraying, not tilling, and keeping the soil life happy.
What's your story, Brendan? How did you end up in Southland?
So I came to New Zealand in 2019 with my bicycle and had the goal of doing all the 23 great rides in New Zealand. So I had made my way down to the South Island and had been doing the Around the Mountains trail that comes straight through here. And yeah, on my adventures, I would stop every now and then and, you know, look for a place to woof or, you know, somewhere to stop and earn a few dollars to keep me going. And Tom and Katie had posted on the woofing website that they were looking for someone to process some firewood. So I figured, oh, this is right on the trail. I can stop for a couple weeks. And 2 days later, we were in lockdown. So it went from a couple weeks to a minimum of 6 weeks between, you know, level 4 and level 3. And yeah, we just got to know Tom and Katie and their family really well, and we all hit it off. And I have a background of market gardening in the States and did a bit of research over the time here. And there was definitely a gap, you know, especially spray-free, non-certified or certified organic options in the area. So decided to step in and fill that gap, and they were kind enough to give me this little bit of land. You know, not like they're short on land out here, but it's just great. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a beautiful spot to work, and couldn't have asked for much more. You just never know how it's going to work out or where you're going to end up.
You're quite passionate about this, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's what I wanted to do, and it's great, you know, the people that I get to meet working with the chefs. And down the line, I would also like to get into maybe a bit of workshopping or, you know, teaching people how it can be done.
Brendan Lopez there at Welcome Rock Gardens in Northern Southland. Cosmo was also talking to Tom O'Brien, who built the Welcome Rock Trails in the hills above the Market Garden at Blackmore Station. And if you'd like to see some photos from the day, go to the Country Life webpage. There's heaps there.